Before we get started, let me tell you about patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. There we have exclusive shows such as So Tell Me, an introspective show about my life. That's what So Tell Me is. People apparently love that show a lot. Hard Asses with Jody B. That is the show that me and Jody B do monthly that gets a little wild. The D&D Podcast, which is a show I do with my son, which is a review show of movies and TV shows and stuff like that. You get to see the other side of my son. And we have much, much more stuff to check out there. We also have a show with Mike Fowler and other things that you will just love. So go on patreon.com/the Delvin Cox Experience. Also, shout out to Patreon producers, Ben Goodwin, a.k.a. Ghost Rider UK, Mikey Famine, and Douglas Regert Johnson. Thank you, guys. Peace. Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm one of your hosts, Delvin Cox, and with me on the podcast is a special guest, someone who has one of the goddamn best theme songs in podcast history.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My boy Cam Sully. How you doing, Cam?
I cannot complain, my dude. Thanks for having me. We were talking about a collab on your show, and you're like, I just loved it. You're like, I was like, so what's the subject? You're like, I'm interviewing you, dumbass. I'm like, oh, okay. Ready.
That's great. As always, we'd like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. Cam, are you ready?
I promise I'm ready. I love improv.
Question number one. What's your favorite breakfast cereal?
It used to be a Cheerios guy, but I ultimately Raisin Bran won out. Just the texture and coating and different brands were like, you do a Kroger or Greater Value, it doesn't matter. Raisin Bran rules.
Let me ask you a question. I guess this would be question number two, because I'm curious about this. When you eat your Cheerios, did you put sugar on them or not?
I don't think I did. Maybe briefly, but I think the sugar was just so much as it was. I was just trying to stuff my face before the school bus came.
So because normally, the people I know, if they're eating regular Cheerios and regular Corn Flakes, put sugar on them.
Interesting.
Now, Honey Nut Cheerios, obviously, in Frosted Flakes, you don't need sugar. But regular Cheerios, I've seen people put sugar on them. If I was wondering.
Interesting.
Put sugar, they don't. I guess because they want it to be sweeter, so they just put sugar on it.
Yeah, no, I never really ran into that. And I think because I saw it so obviously, like the sugar is so clearly apparent on like Raisin Bran and the other ones, I just assumed there was enough of that on the Cheerios or that there was enough honey to make me content. So I don't know.
Okay.
I never ran into that obstacle.
Okay, cool. Question number three, Cam. What is the dumbest thing you think you've ever done as a kid? Anytime they say, where did I begin? There's a lot.
Well, I think just hanging out with just a random just neighborhood pal who was kind of douchey, and yet for whatever reason, me and my siblings hung out with him quite a lot, playing around with Star Wars action figures, video games and everything. But while I regret it, I kind of also don't regret it because it kind of helped me become a better person on how I treat people, how I know respect in and of itself.
What made him douchey? I'm curious.
He's just very religiously judgmental and hypocritical, just very full of shit. And one of those if you don't like it, kiss my ass kind of attitudes. And so
Okay.
everyone has one of those childhood friends, but it was one of those where it's like, yeah, there's some karma coming your way, buddy.
I get it. I get it.
But I think we all need that in general, because the reason I regret it is I think I might have compromised some friendships that could have been because of my association with this dick.
Oh, okay. I got you. That makes
But
sense.
I think you need that just to push forward to being a better person. You need to have a ugly duckling in the room who basically is, you know, stuffing his face, eating all the party food, who you have to, after a while, just say, hey, man, you gotta leave this party. You're pissing everybody off.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Question number four. If you can bring back any cartoon series from your past for like a reboot, a revival, or just a continuation of the series, like they're doing X-Men 97, what are you bringing back?
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna bring back, it's gonna be a combo. The Cartoon Network talk show with Johnny Bravo and Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I don't remember that.
Well, no, like I'm gonna take both their shows and blend it into one.
You're making
That's
a
the
show.
reboot. Yeah, I don't care if it's on Adult Swim and a little naughtier or whatever, but think of kind of like Space Ghost, where we're taking all these pre-established Hanna-Barbera Cartoon Network characters, but we're making them kind of
I
writing new
got you.
footage.
You're
So,
bringing back Space Ghost Coast to Coast with Johnny Bravo. And who else you said, Courage the Cowardly Dog?
as the
Not a bad idea.
I love it when people do a fun crossover like that instead of just do it for the hell of it, just to be cute. Like, no, these guys exist in the same Cartoon Network verse.
It's not a bad idea. I enjoyed both of those shows a lot. Courage the Cowardly Dog is a really great show. I think it always found it really fascinating because it's super dark for a kid's show.
They did a crossover with Scooby-Doo recently, believe it or not.
Oh, they did?
One of those animated Scooby movies, they had him in there, and I was like, that's awesome. I always thought he was kind of Scooby 2.0, so there you go.
I gotta check that out then. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Cause I always like Courage the Cowardly Dog. Like I said, it's really if you watch that show, it's really dark and creepy.
You're right. And
Like
just straight up
uncomfortably
horror,
creepy.
it is. And I think that's why I was kind of into horror comedies growing up, like Wishmaster and Gremlins, or even Temple of Doom with Indiana Jones. It just kind of got me comfortable with, hey, horror can just be wacky and outrageous and just bizarre, stupid.
Yeah, Tales from the Crypt is like that.
Yes, thank you.
The Crypt
Yes,
Keeper.
I
Great
love
character.
it, Mr. Science Theater. Just the whole mix a puppet in with all these other just dark surroundings and have an animal running away from danger.
Yeah, I agree. All right, question five, Cam. Zombie apocalypse is happening, Walking Dead style.
Oh,
You gotta take five things to go out in the world to survive, Cam. Family and pets don't count. They automatically come with you unless you don't want to come with you, then fuck them. But, all right, so what are the five things you're taking to survive, Cam?
man. So first off, water, obviously. Better yet, water, bring one of those water vases that filters the water.
Okay,
So you can
those are
go
good.
anywhere. Go to a lake, piss in it, whatever. It'll filter it out and make it
Hold on,
water
you're
you
gonna
can
piss in
survive.
the lake, then drink the water in
No,
the little water can?
no, I just
You
mean
know,
if you have to piss in there,
you know,
you'll.
you don't have to piss in a lake, right? You can pee outside
Well, I'm just
the
saying piss into the bottle, but
lake,
okay.
Cam. You can,
Either
you
way,
cannot do that.
you shouldn't. No, I'm just saying figuratively, it's the end of the world where, again, you're having to fight all these cannibals and zombies and war tyrants. Yeah, but you can't go anywhere without water. So,
That is
yeah.
correct. Water
Oh,
filtration
man.
device is great. That's a great answer.
Water filtering. You said you needed two more.
No, it's five altogether. Five things. Stop
Five
shorting
things.
yourself. You got one. You need
I
four
just
more.
shortchanged myself. Okay.
Yeah.
Man, you need a car, obviously. Something
Okay,
to
a
run those
car.
zombies over with and
Okay.
just crash every night with. You need soap.
Okay, soap. That's
Some
three.
rubbing alcohol also.
Rubbing alcohol is
And
four.
man, I take it we're gonna have to hunt for our food or just raid every abandoned factory with.
Yeah, because you said no weapons, like none. You didn't say a single weapon yet.
If we gotta do a weapon, I get. Aren't zombies afraid of light? Or no, I'm thinking of vampires. Shit.
Yes, vampires are afraid of sunlight. Zombies are not.
Okay, shit.
You may need a weapon, Cam.
No weapon. Well, since I assume we're gonna already have pickup flashlights along the way, I'm gonna go with what kind of a gun could you find anywhere? I take it if we already got Walking Dead stuff, we're gonna raid a armory dispensary at some point or another. So I'm gonna go with just a hunting knife in general, because you're gonna need it for anywhere, but you might need to stab a zombie every once in
Okay,
a while.
oh, that's nice. That's decent. That's decent.
Just fling it and use the rubbing alcohol, clean it off.
Okay, so Cam, let everybody know about yourself. Let everybody know about the Jacked Up Review Show,
Thank
and
you.
how you even got started podcasting.
So 2019, before COVID hit, I had always my job was not, and finally was at a happier place. I wasn't having any work invade my personal life, and I just said, hey, how about I get some bloggers, personal friends, online friends, and we just all chat about various movies, TV, and music together. I don't want to be pigeonholed, so it'll be kind of a variety show. We'll talk about anything from our favorite talk show hosts to video games they could adapt into movies to just here's a cult movie or show franchise that was a thing, but not enough people talk about anymore. Just And like you, I do like to have kind of just the conversation kind of take effect and worry about the editing later, as long as the chat is free flowing and not too off topic or distorted.
Okay, cool. That's cool. So let me ask you this. How did you get the theme song for this podcast?
So Gravity Factory was a band I shot a music video for. If you ever want to see the music video, I can share it.
Oh, yes, we need to see this music video.
And they kind of just paid me back. They're just like, sure, we'll do your music video for free. And I was like, perfect. And I just, they were just such a delight to shoot a music video for. We could only do it in one take and everything. And it was just one of those, they just got us comfortable with each other. And I think that's why I'm just such best friends with so many independent filmmaker and music
Okay,
people,
hold
is
on, hold
just,
on. Before you go on, I have to ask quick. You said there's a music video of this?
Not of the theme song, but that I did for them.
Okay. So you shot the music video for them.
And that was the payoff. They're like, yeah, we want to help each other down the road. And that's what it came down to, was just a fun trade-off. Jason Mays is just a very amazing man. And I mean, it's kind of like the different collaborations you see with, Crystal Storm and Robert Clark Chan and James Gaffney. It's just like, and just help everybody out. Never stop reminding them that they're doing great things. And I just dug their jam in general, because they're just so fearless, for lack of a better word.
Okay. So
And
you shot the music video for them. What was that experience like for you? Like, have you done that before? Is this like your career type thing? Is this something that you do more?
I had done some independent film projects, but I was kind of getting disillusioned, because Dallas, Texas was just having so many flakes and ego-headed maniacs. And I just was finally just, I think, in a more comfortable place, because finally everybody was, I saw we're doing more music videos, and I said, see, I like that better than doing a short film that you just throw away and you never see again. And it was like, here with a music video, it's basically shorter than an episode. People weren't doing web series much anymore either at that point. And I just said, yeah, this is cool, because just like a movie, people are going to remember a music video if it just catches their eye, and that can lead to better gigs. I just like it in general, because the story can be a little more looser and not as over-edited. And you just got to just kind of like when you start a show of any sort, radio, podcast, and everything, you just cite the rules up front, and you don't have to, the music is already not by a giant label, so you don't really have to worry about much of anything other than, are the dancers and extras in the background doing what you've instructed them to do? Are the camera guys getting some eye-catching angles that really add to the momentum? And are the artists happy, or do they need to take a break and do some rehearsal before we shoot?
Okay. How did you get into even doing this type of stuff? This is something you want to do as a kid, or is this just like.
Yeah, I was just always, I was doing all kinds of stuff. I was doing a lot of extra work on various shows, and after I did some film and theater at UT Arlington in Texas, but it was just very underwhelming. But all this cynicism just fueled me even more. Is like, see, people can get involved with anything. I have pals who I took theater with who are now Airbnb ambassadors and doing other kinds of internet radio and such. And I think it just showed me you can choose what your identity is at any time, any shape and form. And, you know, people can complain nowadays about what we got out there in the world now, like TikTok and what have you, Patreon. And it's like, but that's fine. That's their identity. That's their own platform. And there's going to be six other platforms probably down the road that are a similar kind of thing. And just do what you want to do. It doesn't have to be just a YouTube channel, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. With all this stuff happening in terms of technology and stuff like that, because technology is advancing very fast. What is your thoughts on like the whole AI thing and
oh man,
the whole process of that and everything that's going on with that? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. Like they, if you're on X, aka Twitter, the real name for it,
right? Whatever.
You'll often come across a picture of a person, and then you'll hear like you'll see that oh, this picture was AI generated. This is not a real person. Or you'll see like songs yes. is made by AI. It's a fascinating thing to me. That's why I wanted to hear your thoughts on it a little bit.
So for the longer version, listen to the recent guest spot we did on Pods Like Us. Look at the AI episode. But long story short, like any technology, it's a cool idea, but it took one to ruin it for everybody. There's just because there's a lot of copyright infringement and a lot of studios are doing it to save money or not pay royalties. I think ultimately we got to kind of just retool it, like either enforce laws with it to prevent any kind of other gatekeeping or image theft, or just, I don't know. It's kind of like how everyone thought computers were going to take over, even though scientists had said computers technically don't have the capacity to coherently take over the world like Skynet. So I think it was kind of just, if anything, this is just a illustrating chapter of industries want entertainment done cheaper, but not better. So I think AI could improve, but it's probably not going to be in this decade.
Yeah, maybe not. It's an interesting thing because
you got to retool it, I guess. You know,
there was a conversation about Hollywood stars selling their likeness to AI companies and stuff like that so people can still produce movies to them. I know there was a rumor that Bruce Willis did that he denied doing that. And I find it fascinating because on one hand, okay, I'll give you a good example. I recently watched the new Indiana Jones movie like a couple months ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
The beginning half of it, I don't want to get too spoilers of it, but I'll get a little bit of the spoilers of it. There's a section of the movie with young Indiana Jones that I absolutely love.
Yeah, I dug it too.
But the problem with it is like, the technology is there and it's cool. But is this right? Like, you know, the whole idea of like, it's Harrison Ford, but it's Harrison Ford de-aged down and stuff like that. They probably can continue doing these movies with young Indiana Jones with an AI version of them. And it's like, while it might be cool once they get the technology down, it does feel like it might be a little gross. Like an even better example, the Flash movie got in a little controversy because they had, fuck the Flash. I don't give a fuck about that movie. So I will,
yeah,
I'll spoil this
that
part.
Was bad. Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I will spoil this part. They had an AI version of George Reeves in it as Superman in one of the scenes.
Yeah.
And people were very upset about it because I don't know if people know the story of the original Superman. He killed himself because he didn't like playing the role.
There was that. And much like Guardians 3, I just felt the tone was all over the place to where I'm like, yeah, I'm done with superhero movies for a while. I need, instead of just like, when there's a movie and TV crossover, it should be part of the story as opposed to see what we did there. And I feel like ever since Spider-Man, everyone just wants a crossover just for the hell of it, as opposed to, no, that's a great idea. We should do it instead of, and right now it just seems like crossovers galore. Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm like, no, like if you're going to do a crossover, have it be just just a really fun, like TV event, like all your favorite shows are doing a big giant, like manhunt for a killer, you know, your badasses are getting together, or better yet, maybe just like all the various versus movies between a popular action sci-fi or horror franchise. Do that.
I think the Spider-Verse movies have gotten it right so far.
I hope they continue, you know.
Yeah, I think they've gotten it right when it comes to that. But let me get back to the topic I was talking about before with that. So what do you think of the whole AI thing and bringing these actors, making them younger, bringing them back to life, and the point that we may get maybe some years down the line, maybe a decade down the line, a young Bruce Willis or a young Harrison Ford in movies again? It's a possibility if they sell their rights.
As long as they're cool with it, like, I mean, for instance, speaking of Spider-Verse, Babylon 5 just came out with an animated movie. It was really a lot of fun, but
Okay.
it was kind of like they had to have it be animated, and the plot was very much like Spider-Verse, a standalone, just, you know, time travel thing, uniting different eras of the show. But it had to be animated because half the cast is either way past their prime or they've passed away since, you know, from cancer and everything. So it was like it had to be animated. So that's why they got famous voice actors like Phil LaMarr and what have you to voice the beloved characters. And if they can do what they did with, you know, Nick Fury, Sam Jackson's character, or Will Smith and what have you, and Gemini Man, I'm cool with them doing what they've done with them and Harrison Ford. But if it's with a deceased person and everything, and you haven't told their estate, that's where I can see where it can get a little ruptured because that person doesn't have a defense or a just permission for you to sign off on using their persona, you know?
You know what it reminds me of, and this is a very old reference, but I think you'll get it because you used to watch Tales from the Crypt. There was an episode of Tales from the Crypt that was very
The
popular.
Bogart episode was great.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about, where they brought Humphrey Bogart, who was long gone, back to life for a whole episode, and it's like they kind of like generated his voice and they generated his likeness. And it was a whole episode that he starred in, and it was such a unique, cool thing that they probably can do better now, but nobody batted an eye at it. I think people praised it at the time, but now if you were to probably do something like that, people would look like, oh, that's kind of creepy that you're doing that.
Yeah, it's just very iffy at this point. I mean, I'm sure Bogart's kids signed off on that.
Yeah, probably. If I would hope so, at least.
I mean, I don't think Zemeckis could live with himself if he didn't ask. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, but I think that's just it too. Like, these decisions for the AI and everything aren't coming from the filmmakers, they're coming from the studios who want to produce content. So, yeah, I mean, if they wanted to do, I think the other issue too is it's realistic to some extent. But then you're still going to have people complaining, hey, it doesn't look 100% either,
Yeah,
like Grand Moff
there's
Tarkin
that
in Rogue
part.
One.
Yeah, there's that part too. So let's get back to you. So
Yeah,
you start this show in 2019,
before COVID broke
before
us
COVID,
and before it got
and
politicized as a
well,
nation.
since you mentioned COVID, how was doing the show during those times?
And, you know, it wasn't bad at all. I had started with some filmmaking buddies of mine, still good pals with them, still help them out. And we were doing it in person for their show. And I wanted to break away and do my thing because I wasn't really caring for how they were doing their thing. And I said, well, so I know what time and energy and focus I'm going to put into this. It's kind of a one-man show. I'm still editing it and everything. I got to get better with the sound and everything. But.
So you told those guys, beat it. I'm the Beyonce of the group. You guys get on. I'm Beyonce. You guys are the other ones at this point.
I wish it had been that drastic. I just politely excused myself and just did my thing because I was tired of bitching. I was like, yeah. So, because it was one of those where one of them was focusing too much on the video and the other was just not bringing much to the conversation. So I said, okay, so if I'm going to bitch, you know, I have no right to bitch if I'm not going to try this myself. So I just went from
Yeah.
that point on, met a
You were
bunch of
like,
other friends along the way and
I'm the Shawn Michaels in this group. You
yeah,
guys are the Marty Jannetty's.
we're gonna wrestle. We're gonna.
I'm gonna throw you through the paint glass window and we'll never hear from you again.
They've revisited since. We've had them do some of the sarcastic award shows we do annually, but we'll get you on those.
Oh, that's dope. So
And much like James and Crystal, I do love how people are now acknowledging radio again. Making their own audio dramas,
oh
not
yeah,
just Amazon.
that's definitely a great thing. You know, I always appreciate Crystal, you know, Crystal.
Do your best Orson Welles impression.
Yeah. You know, I love Crystal to death. She's amazing. I like Matthew Dawson's great. He's doing the
And you got to play Green Lanterns with him. Yeah,
I got to play Green Lantern, so that was a lot of fun. He's doing
still the best Green Lantern.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's just, I like that people are kind of spreading their creative roots and stuff like that. And I always want to support artists when they do that, because it is an art. When you have voice actors, we have people who are writers, producers, they do things. I appreciate when, you know, even like the things I've been in. I've been in a couple of different things. I've been in Green Lantern, like you said. I've been a roast master for a roast.
I love your roast. They're so much fun.
So it's been an interesting ride, but you know, it takes work, it takes dedication, and I kind of always appreciate it. I always want to support people when they try different things with podcasting.
Absolutely. We owe it to ourselves.
Yeah, and I kind of dig that your podcast is kind of a podcast where you're like, you know what? This episode may be an interview with James Gabsy. You're going to have a conversation with James Gabsy and stuff like that. And James is going to rib you and talk to you and have fun. In this interview, we're going to talk about one of my favorite shows, 24.
Just do a whole discussion
on 24 and Jack Bauer and how awesome Jack Bauer is, how much I love that show. Yep. I like that you're kind of like, you know what, you don't stay in one box. You kind of just do your thing.
I appreciate that. The hardest part is telling people, where can you find this now? Why should you get into it? And getting past the snobs, you're going to do the whole, is it on Blu-ray? Otherwise, I won't watch it. I'm like, well, it's your loss.
Yeah, you're the one who actually told me that you found the 24 episodes on Blu-ray now.
Yeah, it's on in Japan.
Yes. I've ordered two of them. I have two of them. Yeah, because of you, because of that.
Nice. It's a fair trade-off, because if you want to sacrifice all the special features, you can still find them on the spoilers website by the fans. So there you go.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a dynamite show that still, I'm surprised it gets introduced to people, because half these movies and shows, you can't syndicate, so.
Yeah, 24 is one of those shows that kind of stand the test of time, and that in a time where there was a lot of great shows on TV. There was Lost, there was Heroes,
mm-hmm.
24. It was just like a lot of great stuff at that time.
Edgy on any program. There was something for everybody instead of one pool, one shark.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's just dope that it feels a little different now. I think it's getting back to where it was
saturated.
But it is a little oversaturated. Like, you know, for every 24 TV show you had like a personal interest.
Yep. That was a good companion. There's Ted Lasso.
There's a lot of
Expanse.
Stuff. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Let's talk about a little bit more about yourself. How do you come up with your ideas and concept for your show?
You know, there's plenty of ideas I sit on for even 3 years now. I'll come up with the promo art even ahead of time. Just, I'm all about just thinking ahead of time. And I think within a year of the show, I just found, hey, I want to do this now, but it doesn't have to happen this year. And give yourself enough time to edit, come up with a themed week and everything, so it doesn't confuse people and engage people at different points of the day. I find that instead of putting up Patreon, just do some Instagram polls and everything and just see what people are really into. If people, for whatever reason, want to see more specials on actors. So I said, okay, well, let's talk about some of your favorite actors, or better yet, let's talk about four similar themed movies that this actor was typecast in, that, you know, which of these are awesome mega hits and which ones kind of didn't stand the test of time or were divisive. We did one with Schwarzenegger recently, where we talked about his spy assassin movies, and it's like, okay.
Well, that's so quite a few of those.
After Commando and True Lies, he did these two other particular movies, and were these fun in their own right, or were they just forgettable, you know, formulaic?
You said Commando and True Lies?
Yeah, and then we did Eraser and Collateral Damage. And
I was going to say those two, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, there you go. And so, all different eras, you know.
Interesting. So, Camp.
Yep.
Getting back to what I was saying, it seems like you're the type of person who has 1,000 ideas in your head at one time, and your podcast kind of reflects that, because it's like you're trying to get them all out into different shows, and it's kind of very diverse in that aspect.
Yep. Want to entertain everybody.
I dig that. I dig it. I kind of feel like, oh, that's a really interesting way of going about it, because it's like I said, it's so diverse and it's so unique. Almost like this show in the sense where almost never know what to expect.
Absolutely. I never know what questions you'll ask someone, if it's a prank. Or...
yeah. And I kind of dig that you do that. And I kind of dig that you interview people like I said, you interview James, you interview Crystal. But if you had a lot of guests on this show. You've had me on.
Oh, yeah. For anyone wanting an interview, you can find so many other people out there that don't fall underneath the Writers Guild or SAG yet, you know. And instead of waiting for the strike, just interview people who are just your icons. Interview your favorite comic book artist who lives in your town, you know. Something.
Yeah, you do a pretty good job with getting interviews, Cam. So you just, you just kind of just go forth and ask them, shoot your shot immediately?
I'll do it in stages. I'll do both, you know, the social media interaction as well as just the emails, and take your time with them. And I think the reason I just had to just conform also just to a variety is don't wait for your show to exist. And if something's not coming out when you would like it, you know, retool it or just say, hey, well, we'll postpone that and we'll have something like that come out a different month or different year.
Okay.
And value your time. Value other people's time. That's really just rule number one.
I like it. So, Cam, what are your goals? What are your aspirations for your podcast? Give us some of the fun things you want to do. Give us some funny moments. Give us some things that you want to do with the podcast so far.
I hope we praise various other stand-up clubs from around the globe. I hope that we do some other amusing franchise rankings. I hope altogether we just put a shit-eating grin on everyone's face. You know, entertain until we don't want to entertain anymore.
You know, people feel like you might have some flack with my boy Race the Canis because you're always giving him crap.
I love just stirring the pot with Ray. He knows what he says and how hot takes it is, and I just say, hey. But I'll throw James under the bus too on a few memes too, and those are amusing. Yeah. Where it looks like Brent or Robert has thrown him out of the window. You know.
Yes, because that's one of the things I want to talk to you about. Your memes for the Who Will Win show are very unique.
Just anyone can make a meme. Go to MSlip. Go to anywhere and modify the meme however you want it. If it's not the way you want it, retool it. Try it on other people. See if they laugh. You know,
so all those are just in good fun, and like people don't know.
They're all nice people. They're all professionals, just like yourself. And they're all Knowing Is Half the Podcast is a lot of fun for those wanting
great
to
podcast.
Just obscure 80s stuff. And when I talked with Ray, he's like, oh, it does make sense without seeing it. I'm like, yes, it does. I've never heard of this awful Wizard of Oz cartoon you were showing, but the clips were grossing me out and making me just sit the bed laughing. That's hysterical.
Knowing Is Half the Podcast is a fantastic podcast. Even if I know, I'm going to say about a good 70% of the cartoon shows they talk about.
There's a few that went through the holes where you're like, oh, I thought that was just a rumor.
Yeah. But I always enjoy the show. It's a fantastic show. Ray does a great job of
you and the PlayStation experience do a good job.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, that's a great show.
Cadillac on Mars. Still
listen. Oh, so you listen to all the shows then. You know, Cadillac on Mars, me and Chowfee.
I am not an Ass-Gizzer. I love talk shows. Bleach Bros are awesome. Florida Man, Florida Problems, those are awesome. Yeah.
So you are all in on the Delvin Cox universe, to say the
least. Yeah. Not everyone can be a great talk show host or just joke around. One podcast that isn't active as much anymore, Two Guys One Canuck, I had on in the early days, and I thought they were just love their politically incorrect comedy.
Well let's keep going then. What are some podcasts you're listening to right now? I'm interested now. You
Edible Attitude, you can listen to. We had them on recently to talk about our favorite candies.
Okay.
But they're in general, much like you, there is no set topic. They'll do a themed week every once in a while, but it's just awesome to just, I mean, obviously I'm sure you've heard of Brent Pope's Brent Fest, but
Brent Fest is great. Brent Pope's been on the show. I need to come back on now that you mentioned it. Brent Pope's a really great guy.
There you go. Do it. And once the SAG strike ends, you'll probably see more of them. I recommend to various other movie and TV music chats, because often they'll go out and even talk about other stuff too. It's Borgo Pass talks about your favorite Universal monster movies. Derazzled talks about the Razzie Awards. Everything I Learned from Movies, Time Shifters, Cinema Psyops, Podcast in the Woods, Talking okay. Pictures, The Grind Bin, Front Row Film Roast, Composers, The Movie Score Podcast.
So you get into a lot of podcasts then.
Yep, 22 Shots of Moods and Horror, Film Seizure, Genre Exposure, Myopia Movies, The New World Pictures Podcast, Reels of Justice, and more importantly, a more recent one, Bad Movies Rule.
Those are some good, I guess you get
The Young Turks, Friendly Atheists are funny. Yeah.
Okay, you give me a good list of podcasts
to check out. $2 late fee. Podcasting After Dark, if you want your ultimate 80s sit down.
So let me ask you this, since you mentioned it. Have you heard of a podcast called Behind the Bastards?
Yes. By iHeart. Yep. I first heard of them because they did that Seagal episode, Steven Seagal episode.
I have not heard the Steven Seagal episode.
Yeah. Look for the layers. It should be there from, I think, 2018. And it was way better than the other true crime podcast, because I was disappointed by a lot of other iHeart stuff because the narrators were too in love with their voice. But that one, I think, landed because they took it in stages, much like even American Scandal by Wondery. They were good at just picking a tone. And when they revisited an older episode, they had an update or a special edition of that podcast with new interviews. And it was good at improving and just talking about lesser known aspects of history. You know, like, these are real life neo-Nazis to be on the lookout for. This is an infamous band that's actually hated because of this, not that. And
okay,
here's why people hate these certain politicians, you know?
Okay, that's good. You know, got me want to check out some more stuff from Behind the Bastards. I got into them because of the Vince McMahon episodes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, they told me so much about the ugly side of wrestling that I, you know, most wrestling people are afraid to talk about because it can risk a defamation of character lawsuit.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
But fortunately, a lot of it they're citing from books and, you know, already, you know, long known newspaper articles. So it's pretty much fair game by that point.
Yeah. So Cam.
Yes.
What are your favorite things you like about podcasts? What brought you into podcasts? What's the reason why you keep going every day to start recording podcasts and stuff?
I was pretty familiar with it around the 2013 era, and then by 2016 I saw how it was really taking off a lot. It was more than just a celebrity recaps their favorite show that they were on, or how did this get made. I think it just, because a lot of us were getting tired of snobby YouTube reviewers, podcasts were a good way at just, again, just echoing it's radio that you can take anywhere with you, like a, you know, a portable DVD player, but it's also good in that you can pick your topics. I mean, I think I was just used to it just back in the days when SiriusXM was first on the scene, in that you're picking your genre that you're into, and you're taking it with you while you're on the go. You know, it just makes that car ride so much faster.
Yeah, SiriusXM was really interesting like that because, you know, Sirius, I think, to Sirius credit, they kind of had this, I guess, like, you can go, like, get a channel, you can listen to talk shows all day, or you can listen to hip-hop, and I think that kind of was like, you know, when I was in college, I used to listen to a lot of sports radio because, you know.
There you go.
I was listening to, like, Dan Le Batard, and now Dan Le Batard's huge, but, yeah. That was kind of my thing. And now I think podcasts have replaced that.
In a way, yeah. We're at the point now where none of these networks are tapping out. There's always going to be cable TV. There's always going to be internet. There's always going to be DVD and Blu-ray. And then there's going to be, again, satellite radio, podcast radio, internet radio. So pretty much if you want to stand out, you might want to just create a new form of new media.
I agree. Media is so funny like that, and right? I guess that was kind of a thing that you wanted to get into when you kind of started going back to what you talked about earlier in your production of videos and stuff like that. Was something that you were at one point passionate about, I guess,
and that, and just sharing a voice instead of just writing a blog post and dealing with inevitable internet hate or endless conversations. Is like, well, if you want it to stand out, do your own thing. Just Go for it. Nothing's stopping you.
You're right about that. Had that in your production days. Getting back to your production days. Give us a crazy story. Anybody well known you work with? Anything happen on set?
Oh man, I was on this miniseries no one saw for National Geographic that had a bunch of semi-known actors like Jeremy Sisto, and you might know from FBI and 6 Feet Under. It was also just awesome meeting. If anyone wants to be part of the movie extra scene, just go out and do it. You know, you'll meet some semi-known cinematographers, stunt performers, makeup guys who've been around for decades. The craziest thing, I can think of a few amateur movie productions I was on, but nothing really just worthwhile. But I'll tell you what, I was on this reality TV pilot that never got picked up. I still have the explosion on my Instagram, where basically this distilled vodka company, they were so busy trying to create, you know, reality TV is actually scripted. There's no point in calling it reality, but they wanted to have some instigated family matters and other stuff going on and everything. But the highlight of that day was when they actually blew up an actual bunch of vodka on a private part of their ranch.
Oh, they blew it up?
They blew it up, like, just as part of a sizzle reel. And that changed everything I thought about explosions. Like, yeah, you feel it. It'll almost knock you on your ass. It's not like the movies where you get right back up. No, you're sitting this out for 5 minutes at least.
It was that big of an explosion, then I'll take it.
It was a big-ass explosion. If you want me to link it to you, I'll gladly
see it. Oh, definitely link it to me so I can see this. You remember the name of the reality show?
Oh, it never got picked up. So
I didn't even get a name?
It was a very chaotic, very bad film set.
How many of these type of shows you worked on? You said you worked on one for Discovery Channel, right?
I worked on Queen of the South, which was a USA Network show, and
I know that show.
Well, it was pretty unprofessionally run behind the scenes. Like, they would have so many days go by where they could not decide what they were even going to shoot. It's like, well, you have a script. What's keeping everybody?
Yeah, Queen of the South, if I remember correctly, is loosely based off of the woman.
A telenovela and everything. And it's just like, there were so many extras who had a huge head on that, where I was like, guys, we're all here to do the same thing. You're playing a henchman in the background. You are not an actor.
I remember that show in USA. It was supposed to become a big thing.
Yeah, it was kind of supposed to be the next Burn Notice or Taken, and it kind of just faltered out because everyone was kind of just not proud of the final product behind the scenes. And I was just like, well, you can always change something in post or ask for a rewrite. But I think it was just one of those. The writers were just saying duly noted to everybody. The directors were kind of just in it for the money, and the star pretty much just was using her power to say no to this, yes to that, the male lead was wild because he was asking the extras coordinator to get every gorgeous female extras number for him. So,
oh man, I remember this show because I remember it was based on like a real life drug dealer, female drug lord. I can't think of
it. Was it a real life? I thought it was just a book. But what do I know? Narcos is based on events, so. Yeah, yes. It wasn't quite Narcos, but
that's interesting that you worked on that show.
It's an interesting drinking game, that is for sure.
Is there any other shows that we might know that you worked on?
Oh man,
you done brought up some interesting stories. You've been hiding this stuff from us, Cam.
Oh man, so outside of just independent movies and everything, I mainly have just done some web series that never got finished and everything, and. I did a Star Trek fan film that was fun.
You gotta talk about that. What was that like?
So basically reserved a library for the day and just had a bunch of people who were at a bunch of networking events just use practical effects, you know, and use some free to use software and everything. It's like
it made a Star Trek fan film?
Absolutely. Just to make it look like the ship is taking a hit, just flash the lights on and off and, you know, tilt the camera a bit, you know. altogether, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I've been in that I'm not proud of, but I'll tell you one funny one, which involved a bunch of, it was called Follow Grace. It was just these two brothers who were kind of just shit talking everybody, and they just need some extras one day. We thought it was a fight to the death movie. Lo and behold, it was just a very bad exorcism movie. And that whole day, we're doing a giant, like what looks like a fight them kind of running man, blood sport type movie. And people are just running around, just pretending to punch each other and what have you.
So you were on like a blood sport, but on Wish.
Like, yeah, there you go.
Like Tubi blood sport.
Yeah, made in Thailand. Yeah. Oh, man.
That had to be pretty fun, though. Like, just in those type of...
It kind of was. I just got annoyed at how the guys were like, oh, you can add your own credits to it. I'm like, so we're not, don't even... We're already not getting paid for this, so you're not even going to credit us. Thanks, guys. I was on a TV show pilot that was basically L.A. Law for Women. It had Anna Paquin and Blair Underwood on. But I loved it because I got to meet this gorgeous blonde British actress, Charity Wakefield, who had been on my favorite Wesley Snipes TV show, The Player. It had gotten canceled the year before. And she spilled the beans telling me everything like that didn't make it past that first season. It was like, yeah, I was going to be the real bad pulling the strings and everything. I'm like, oh, dude, you don't say.
That was cool. So you got to know about the show.
Absolutely. She's like, I'm glad someone saw it because not enough people saw it. I got fucking canceled.
I remember that show.
Well, let's talk about it one of these days. Wesley Snipes TV double feature. yeah, I mean, reach out to anybody. Don't even just do a movie extra set or anything. And don't, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You'll probably be on set all day and none of your scenes will be in the movie. But that's not what it's really about. It's really just about film set life. Talk to the right people. They might need an extra grip or stand in. And trust me, just about anybody can be a stand-in. I would see people who weren't even the same race standing in for him. Like, I see. They got brunette hair. That's it.
I've seen it happen in certain movies. Like, oh, that's not
it's just wild. And take it with a grain of salt. There's always going to be ego. There's always going to be just people with outrageous stories to tell. And you just got to say, hey, you know, this is the business. But if you, I saw so many people who pretty much do that for a living. They have a flexible 9-to-5 job and they just travel from Atlanta to Louisiana to LA and New York. And they get on so many of the big shows that are probably on your cable TV thing. And sometimes it'll happen, other times it won't. But more often than not, you might have something you can use on your demo reel, but it, take a reliable acting class with some actual people who have been in the business for a while, you know, go to, take a master class, you know, online. I learned way more about film set staging than I learned at my sham of a college. So, I mean, you determine you and how serious you are about it. If you want to do it for fun, maybe do a movie extra role, but don't shit talk and don't do it just because you think you're going to socialize with someone. That's not what it's about. You know, it's just the experience and seeing a little bit of what happens behind the scenes is really what it's.
I love it. Man, Kevin, it's been a great time, buddy.
Anytime, my dude. Anytime.
Let them know to find you at and let them know to find the podcast at.
So we're on every platform, Podbean, Anchors, Spotify, Apple, and support everyone's podcasts. You can do a podcast. Just determine how you're going to record it, what you're going to talk about, and get other guests from your shows. You know, that's free publicity for everybody, but also you'll remember those awesome conversations you had.
I love it.
Yeah. Better safe than sorry. Just if you got a story you want to share, whether it's recapping your favorite movie and TV franchise, whether it's talking about action figures and hell, fashion. Do it.
All right, Cam. You got to do something, Cam.
I promise we will.
You got to sing the theme song to your show.
Jacked Up Review Show. Viewer discretion advised. I won't quit my day job.
Exactly. That was great, Cam. Thank you for coming on, brother.
Peace, love.
As always, Devil Cock Experience, we are out. Peace.